Get up your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. We'll be reading from that in just a moment. Mark chapter 12. And we'll be reading it starting in verse 28 for here in just a minute. You know, the question I have is, are you on the outside looking in to a town? And, you know, there's this concept of what's called a border town. And in essence, the town can't cross over into that next city. There's a border there that is keeping them from going in. And, you know, those towns and that, it's gated up in a way that will only allow those who are supposed to be in to get in. And so my question is, are you living on the outskirts of God's kingdom? And I think this set of verses that we're about ready to read in Mark will help guide us in asking that question in our lives today. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. It says, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing and recognizing that he had answered them well, and asked him, what commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all thy heart and with all understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as himself, it's much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. So first of all, we got to look at the response. And when Jesus hears the scribe's response, he tells him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. So why is the scribe not far? It doesn't say that he's in the kingdom of God. So this is someone who's living in the borderland. It is someone who is outside that kingdom. And when you look at someone who's on the outside of that kingdom, and especially in context here, this scribe, he obviously knows the word of God. Knows it more than a lot of his counterparts. And when you go and look in what the Pharisees and the scribes were doing to Jesus Christ at this time, they were the ones ridiculing him. They were the ones hating on Jesus. But yet, this one was different. This one had more of an understanding. He understood who Jesus was. And he answered Jesus correctly. And the part of this response is understanding that there is more to our lives than just religious activities. More than just coming to services. There's more to it. There's more to that. And if you go to Hosea chapter 6, and this is part of the scribe's response. If we look at Hosea chapter 6, look at what it says in chapter 6, verse 6. For I delight in loyalty, in obedience, rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God, rather than burnt offerings. So what we see here is that it is better to obey than it is to have sacrifice. And this scribe added that as part of his response to the Lord when he when the scribe had asked him, what is the most important commandment? And, you know, when we look at what a scribe's purpose was, They're scribing the law. So every scribe should have understood who Jesus was. Every scribe should have known that this son, this man that came here in the flesh and was performing all of these things and saying all of these words that connected him to God, should have known that this was the exact person that we've been scribing. They scribed. They had to make copies of the law. So they wrote it down word for word. And gave that out. But see, what that tells me is that they are writing the law, they're knowing the law, but they don't know how to obey the law. they don't truly understand what they're writing. And that is a problem. And specifically, those scribes and Pharisees in the first century, they did not know what they were writing down. They did not even know the own words that they could teach. And if we look at the borderland, these are ones that know the law, they understand the word, but they don't obey it. Those are the almost in the kingdom of God. Those are the ones who are living on the outskirts of this kingdom. And you and I do not want to live in the borderland. The borderland is the furthest place that you and I want to be. If someone says, let's go to vacation to the borderland, you say no. You want to go in the kingdom. That's where you and I should be ready, and that's where we should be vacationing at today. Because if you're stuck in the borderland, it is the most dangerous place. You're someone who knows the truth, but yet you're not even listening to it. See, if I'm not going to be in the kingdom, I want to be far away from the truth as possible. I don't even want to know it. I don't know what's outside the borderland, but that's where I want to be, because at least I don't have to stand before God when He asks me, "You knew the truth, but you didn't do it," because that is a bad spot to be in, because your eyes are going to light up in a way that there's no way to change it, and it's going to be nothing but fear and shock. So living in the borderland is not what we want to be in. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just look at verse 6 for just a minute. "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." So first, we all know that we've got to hear the word. I mean, if you never hear the word, you'll never know what to believe in. It's impossible. But there's an essence in our lives that's so important, and that's faith. You cannot go through this life without faith. It is impossible. Like, if you're going through this life without faith, then you're no better off than someone who's never heard the word. And the faith is something that you understand this word, and that you change your life, and that you live according to that word, to that truth that you now understand. You live it, though. It's not just hearing it. Hearing does no good. You can, it's just like I tell my son Chase, do something. He'll hear it, but if he doesn't do it, it does no good. Just like with me and my brother, my parents told me to do something. If I did not do it, it was a problem. And there was punishment because of it. If we go to Romans 10 for just a moment, another verse. Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So here you are today. You're hearing the word. Throughout other times, you've heard the word of God. What is your next step? Is it just to hear, remain in the borderland, not commit to it, not act to it? Because if that's your job, if that's what you're expecting to do, you're not hearing anything. Hearing is actually putting and connecting what you're hearing to an action. It's the same thing as if I'm at my job and he says, "Hey, I need for you to do this. Are you hearing me?" And I say, "Yes, I am." And I sit there for 5 hours. He comes back, "Did you do it?" "No, I heard you, but I didn't do it." I'm going to lose my job. You're going to lose your soul, and that's even worse. And that's where you and I do not want to be yet. And, it has to go beyond just hearing. Like, hearing does us no good, no good whatsoever. If we go to John 6, Jesus says in John 6, and we're starting in verse 44. If you think about the book of John, it doesn't really have a whole lot of history with Jesus in sort of his younger years. So the book of John is good because it really talks more about a lot of the things that Jesus did through his sort of ministry. And I always liked the book of John of all the Gospels. And if you go to John 6, and look at verse 6, I mean 45. Sorry, 44 and 45. It says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God." Notice, "and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." So here we see two pieces of this. First of all, we see that God draws you to him. The word draws you to God. There's no doubt that that drawing is important in our lives, that when you recognize it, you hear it, you get drawn. Drawn in a way that you've never felt anything like this before. But the key to this whole thing is sort of the end of verse 45, where it says, "Everyone who has heard the drawing, and also look what is part of it, and learned from the Father comes to me." So if you want to know how to go to Jesus Christ and how to come to Jesus Christ and really be a true follower of him during his ministry, you learn from what he's taught. You are drawn. And when you learn, it carries the idea of doing something. It's not just I'm listening, I'm hearing Jesus. I'm actually doing something because of what he's telling me. And if we go to Hebrews 4, verses 1, 2, and the first three verses. Hebrews 4. It says, "Therefore let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed entered the rest, just as he said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although his works were finished from the foundation of the world." So if you go back to verse 2, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also," they heard this word too. So those who were unbelievers, that's what is in context in the end of chapter 3. Those who had unbelief, they heard the word just like you and I. They heard it. But notice, it says, "just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them." Why? Because it was not united by faith when they heard it. So therefore, that's saying that for those who have unbelief, what they do is nothing. They don't do anything with what they hear. They just ignore it. They let it pass on. But for us, we had the opportunity to hear the word. It's preached to us. But we can unite that preaching, that teaching, with our faith. And that's where the belief comes in. The unbelief is just hearing it, but not adding faith to it. And you know, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but going back to connecting. See, here's the thing. It's like a lot of times we want to connect faith with religious activities, with things that we do, coming together on the first day of the week. And but you know, the Bible specifically tells us that is not the case. You can turn there, but I also can read it. But 1 Samuel 15, you know, this is not a new teaching. This has never been a new teaching. But if you go to 1 Samuel 15 and just look at verse 22. It says, "Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams.'" And we'll continue on. And you can continue on. But the idea is that having religious activities in your life, what I mean by that is that you're connecting faith with just coming to services. You're connecting faith with just being a good person. You're connecting faith with having good qualities. Look, there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. Those are all great. You need those things. But truly obeying God is what you have to do. You know, God right here, this is in 1 Samuel. You think about it. How much did sacrifices mean to those from a physical standpoint at this time? They deemed their righteousness on those sacrifices. But God is saying, if you don't obey, it means nothing. It means nothing to me. It has no point, in essence, because you're not living in the way that you're supposed to be living. And so it goes beyond just having these religious activities in your life. And if, you know, if you and I have knowledge, but we have not demonstrated obedience to God, we're no more than an educated fool. And basically what I mean by that is an educated fool is someone who knows to do the right certain things, to do right, and yet makes a decision not to do it. And that's where you and I will be, and those are the same people that are in the borderland. And the borderland is no doubt the worst place you can be, and I know I've said this before. But if you're stuck there, you know, unless you're willing to change your ways, you're going to never get out. Like, you're always going to be in the borderland. And that's going to be a problem because the borderland people will always be on the outside looking in. What also means you're going to be on the outside looking in the gates of heaven. There's no other way around it. And if that's the type of life you want to live, where you just come here and you hear the word, and you come here on services on Sunday, and you might open your Bible once or twice during the week, but yet you're somebody different 90% of the time for the rest of the week, I hate to say it, there's it's nothing but bad for you. Forget the coming to services for a minute. Put those to the side. Forget everything else that you've understood to identify as true religion in your eyes. Go back to the basics of the word. What does God want you to do when you hear it? He wants you to commit. He wants you to make a decision. He wants you to lead every decision you make in the right direction towards Him. And if you can do that, you're not going to be in the borderland. What comes part of faith and obedience is coming to services on the first day of the week, taking the Lord's commandment, being baptized, all these great things. And if you make a decision to do those things and also commit to the Word of God and the way you live outside of this place around other people, there's no doubt that you're not living in the borderland. And you know, that, you know, really was a kind of glad I made this lesson a little short, because I hate to say it, it's hot in here, but those in the borderland, where they'll end up, will be a lot hotter. And, you know, I'm starting to sweat, but I tell you, the sweat I'd be feeling there is going to be a whole different ballgame. And I don't know about you, but it's not a place anybody wants to go. But the reason why I say the borderland is the worst spot is because you know the truth. That's the worst case to be. Like, if I'm going to die and go to hell, I don't want to know the truth. I don't want to know it at all. Because at least then I could argue with God my ignorance. You can't argue with God when you know the truth. That is the worst position to be in. And I've seen brethren come through services, and I've seen them sit in the pews years and years and just hear the word, but they never commit. And I'm not talking about commitment, obedience, and the way you around other people. I'm talking about just the simple commitment of being baptized. Like, just to throw that off and to the wayside and not wanting to commit to that, I've just never understood it. But to live in the borderland, to come and hear the word of God and never commit to anything that you hear, that is the worst scenario. And unfortunately, I don't know if anyone here is going to be ignorant to those words, because we try our best to teach the truth. And if you know you're here, you know you're going to hear the truth. And if you know that, and if there's anything you're doing right now that's keeping you outside, you got to get out of the borderlands, because you're going to be in a really difficult, not even, you're going to be ashamed of yourself. That's exactly what you're going to do when you stand before God on Judgment Day. And you're going to look to Him and say, I don't know. I don't know why I made those decisions. But you also are going to have to understand, I understand. I understand why you're doing this, and it's too late to change it. Don't let that be your scenario. Anything that we need to do to get you out of the borderland and through the gates, you have that opportunity to do that. It's together we stand and as we sing.